About 2 weeks ago, I was getting my tires rotated and balanced. Anybody ever have to do that? Get your tires rotated and balanced? Just right here at the Discount Tire next to Cinco Ranch Junior High. And when I got back in my car, I was carrying my backpack. Only problem was my backpack was unzipped. And so as I got into the car, all the contents, or almost all the contents of my backpack, fell on the cement concrete outside of Discount Tire. And I was shocked. But, you know, I quickly put back everything that I could see back into the backpack and got into my car. And as I arrived at the church office, I took out my backpack and my laptop computer. And I saw no battery. So I was anxious. And I immediately called the Discount Tire. I said, hey, got my tires rotated. I think I dropped my computer on the floor. Can you go look outside? They went out. They looked out. No, sir. No battery. I scrummaged through my automobile looking to see if the computer battery was there. Nothing to be found. I went into staff meeting, and it was hard for me to concentrate on church business because I was thinking, where's my computer battery? It's missing. After staff meeting around noon, I went back to Discount Tire my own self, and I scrummaged through the floor. I got on down. I looked underneath the cars. I was trying to find my computer battery. I went up, I asked the attendant, hey, you got a lost and found, a check in the drawers, and they opened everything up. Oh, no computer battery. I got back to the office, I called my wife, I said, honey, did you see my computer battery somewhere at home? No, nowhere to be found. And slowly I began to accept that my battery was missing. And I began to look on Amazon for a replacement battery and how much it would cost. My computer was missing something very important, an important piece. And you ever feel like that? You ever feel like you're missing something in your life, that your life is somehow incomplete? There's a missing piece. It might be a friend, a good friend. And you think, if I could just have one good friend, maybe even a spouse, then that would do it. My life would find the missing piece. Maybe you think it's some achievement and you think, I've got an 89. And if I could just get that 90. Or maybe you got a 79 and you just want that 80, or 69 and you just want that. You know, you can't get a D anymore. You know that? You can't get a D. It's either C minus or F, right? And you just think, if I could just get that 90, then my life would be complete. I would find peace. Or maybe it's financial security. And you think, man, if I could just have X number of dollars in my IRAs, then I'd be set till I'm 90. Or maybe if I could just get that scholarship, or get that extra $1,000 a month, or that support that I need, that's the missing piece. Well, You ever feel like you have a missing piece in your life? All of us may sense that there's something missing in our lives, and we all want to feel complete. We all want to feel somehow we're complete. And this morning, if that's you in here, we're going to look at Psalm chapter 1, the first psalm. How can we live? How can we at least get started on the path to finding that complete, fulfilled, happy, blessed life? That's the path we want to get on. Psalm 1 is going to give us some insight. Are you missing something in your life this morning? Let's look at Psalm chapter 1, the first psalm. As we look, how can we become that blessed person, that complete person? Starting off in Psalm 1, he says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers." So he's going to tell us who the blessed man is, or who he's not here in verse 1. But as we start to understand, how can we get on that path to be complete, to be blessed? We need to understand a little bit of what this word blessed means. You know, we kind of throw that around. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. You know, what does that mean? Well, let's take a little look here. It comes from the Hebrew word esher. Now, this word is also used to name the eighth son of Jacob, Asher, which has this connotation of redness, of happiness. And so it's often translated happy. As we look in different verses where this word asher is used, we see in Psalm 2:12, "Blessed are all who take refuge in him, in the Lord. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, does not turn to the proud." There's other verses. "Blessed are they who come into the courts of the Lord." So I've given a definition, and here's how I'm going to define it. In the Old Testament, blessed has this sense of the rewarded life rooted in a relationship with God. As we see how it's used here in the Psalms, it's often in the context of something in our relationship with God brings us blessing. Now, as we turn to that's how we have it in the Old Testament. As we turn to the New Testament, this English word blessed comes from the Greek word makarios. And as you remember in the Beatitudes, blessed is. And just be aware that part of blessing as we go into the New Testament may not all be a bed of roses, so to speak. Remember here in Matthew 5, he says, "Blessed are you when you're persecuted. Blessed are you when others make fun of you, when they revel you for the sake of me and lie about you and slander you." Okay, so just keep that in mind, that we're not preaching a prosperity gospel, so to speak. But that's a little bit of what we have in mind. It's this rewarded life rooted in a relationship with God. Now, again, in verse 1, he's going to tell us how not to get on that path, what it's not. He says, don't walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers. Now, I kind of think that there's a little bit of a progression here where we're going from not doing certain things, not believing, not behaving, standing in the way of sinners, and then not being. So I sort of think there's some progression here of not believing, not acting, and then not identifying. And so if we want to
make sure we're not on the wrong path, one of the first things we need to do is don't believe false doctrines. Don't walk in the way of sinners and scoffers. And specifically, this first part, don't believe false doctrines. Because that will not lead to the completed, blessed life that God has for us. Now, just bringing it down to today, an example is our church. We have a website, by the way, kdccc.org. And if you get on there, you go to explore and click on down to our faith. You'll see 9 statements of faith. I'm sorry, you can't see that too well, can you? Now, I've kind of blown it up a little bit. Here's 1 through 4 and 5 through 9. But this is not the full Bible, but we've kind of summarized it. And if you're a member of our church, those guys in the baptism class, you're going to become members. We ask you to affirm belief in these 9 statements. Just call your attention to a couple. You know that God, there's a God. He's the creator. You can read the rest. Here, look at 4. The entire Holy Bible is the inspired word of God without error in the original writings. Perfect truth, divine and final authority. There's other sanctity of life. Marriage is between one man and one woman. But as we seek to live the blessed life, let us not believe false doctrine. There's a progression in this. And even more, not just theology, but just false beliefs we may have in our own hearts. We may actually be walking around with false beliefs about who we are, for example, such as who I am is equal to my performance. That's not saying, okay, I don't believe there's no God, but that's something about who we believe we are. Or who I am is equal to what others think of me. These are false beliefs that we walk in the counsel of the wicked. We're not going to be on the path of completion, of blessedness. But again, progression. Don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. Don't believe false doctrine, false beliefs. And also don't act out on those beliefs. Don't stand in the way of sinners, because bad beliefs always lead to bad behavior. Okay? And so we want to make sure that we're not behaving in sinful patterns. So again, if I believe that who I am is equal to performance, and who I am is equal to what others think about me, then I will work really, really hard to get that GPA. I'm going to be consumed. If I have this false belief, I might be consumed to work really, really hard to that position, that position in the church or in the company, because my motive is faulty. Nothing wrong with working hard, okay? Study for algebra, work hard in the company, but if my motive is because I'm trying to find that missing piece, I'm trying to be complete, and I have a false belief, then we're walking down the wrong path. So don't behave in patterns. And lastly, don't sit in the seat of scoffers. Sitting, it's kind of, I identify myself. I'm staking my ground. And now I identify myself with something ungodly. It could be a clear, ungodly state, such as, oh, I am a liar. we don't want to identify ourselves like that, right? Oh, I'm a playboy. We don't want to, you know, I love to play the field. I'm gay. These are clear, ungodly, anti-biblical identity. We don't want to walk that path. We may think that will find the missing piece for us, you know, to be a play the field or whatever. But that's not where we want to identify ourselves. There's also ways to identify yourselves that are just inaccurate or untrue. And we don't want to do that either. You know, like I could say, I'm a woman. That's just inaccurate. I mean, you're going to agree with me on that? I'm a mom. That's inaccurate. That's untrue. We don't want to do that. I'm 25 years old. I feel like I'm 25. You know, my body is as good as a 25 year old. So I identify myself as 25. That's just inaccurate. Okay, we don't want to sit in that seat. But lastly, you know, we want to make sure that we identify ourselves primarily and first with Jesus. And if I identify myself of anything before Jesus, then I'm engaging in idolatry, right? If I am a husband before I am a Christian, I could potentially be, and that's good, I am a husband, that's accurate, it's a good thing to be a husband. If I say I am a student before I understand myself an identity as a follower of Jesus, I could potentially be engaging in idolatry of my studies. If I say, man, I am an Astros fan before I say I'm a Christian, oh man, that's, we're going to be in some trouble. Yeah, that was a bad weekend for the, you know, don't be a Longhorn fan, an Aggie fan, an Astro fan before you say I am a Christian. Okay, I am a follower of Jesus. So, friends, you want to find blessing? You want to find completion? Don't walk in the way of the sinners and the scoffers. Behavior, belief, and being, identity. But we want to find out what we do need to do to get on that path. And so verse 2 tells us, but... don't you love that word? But there's a city called Butte, by the way, you know, but you got to know that's the contrast. Here it comes. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Do you want to get on the path to be complete? Delight in the word of God. Delight in God's word. Delight in God's word. So we want to have this in love with God and his word. And that will lead us to the path of blessing, of completion. Anybody ever see the movie The Princess Bride? Has anyone ever seen that movie? All right. OK, it's a little ancient, but let me just explain just a little bit of The Princess Bride. See, there's this character. His name is Wesley, and he's a farm boy. And the heroine or the princess of the story is Buttercup. All right. Oops, sorry. Buttercup. And so, you know, Buttercup says, farm boy, polish my saddle. And you know what he says? As you wish. And she says, farm boy, fill my pails of water. And he says, as you wish. And she says, farm boy, fetch that pitcher for me. And he says, and he looks at her with a lot of romance in his eyes. And,
as you wish.
And so when he's saying, as you wish, he's really saying, I love you. All right? Little marital tip there. Husband's okay. You know? Now, this works the same way with God. We are in love with God. And so, just like Wesley, he wanted to cling to every word that Buttercup said. He wanted to understand it clearly. He wanted to internalize it so that he could then accurately act upon it. We do the same thing. We want to be delighted in the Word of God so that we can understand it, interpret it, and apply it in our lives. And that is the path of blessing. Furthermore, we want to delight on this. We want to meditate on His Word day and night. Day and night. Now, this is a merism. It's using the two extremes to basically say the totality of it. So basically, we want to meditate on the Word of God all the time. All the time, okay? So we can add a phrase to our chant. You know the chant? God is good. Right? All the time. All the time. Very good. So we can add a phrase to our chant. Meditate on the Word of God all the time. Got it. Okay, it doesn't quite have the same rhythm as God is good, but you get the point, right? That's really what this verse is saying. We want to meditate on the Word of God all the time. And so, you are facing a difficult situation and you're finding your identity in your performance at work or at school or in the church. And so that's why we want to encourage you to memorize the Word of God. Memorize it so that when you're facing that struggle, oh, I feel so depressed because I didn't do well in my classes or I failed in my presentation, then you can think and meditate and mull and chew over, blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to the adoption as sons, to the praise of the glory of His grace according to the kind intention of His will. In Him we have redemption through His blood, through the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. And when you're faced with those situations where those false beliefs come up, then you can meditate and mull over and recite to yourself the Word of God. And we can be creative about this. We want to dwell and meditate on God's Word. We see this also in Joshua 1:8, where he says, meditate on it day and night, and then you will have success. Your way will be prosperous. We'll talk about that just in a little bit. But we can be creative about meditating on the Word of God. I know one person, this person has made a poster of who she is in Christ Jesus. That she's not what her performance says, but she's blessed in the heavenly places. She's adopted. All these things. That's her identity. So we can meditate on it all the time. All the time. So we want to keep encouraging you to read, study, meditate, memorize the Word of God. And just to encourage us and motivate us a little more, the psalmist gives us the consequences. He is like a tree, verse 3, planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. And so he's using a literary device. It's called a simile. What's a simile? Comparison, right? We got some few AP English guys in here. A comparison using what? Like or as, right? Metaphor is what? You don't use like or as, right? Pretty simple. So he's using a simile here, a literary device. And he's saying, if you follow this path of blessing, then you're going to be like a tree. Okay? Now, here we have a tree planted by my son, Gabriel. How many weeks ago did you plant this tree? All right. Maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. You know what? This started off with 4 beans. Just 3 weeks ago, this was 4 beans. I guess they're down there, but you can see the 4 stems. And if you follow the path of blessing, you're going to be like this plant, this tree, which had life-giving water, streams of water supplying life to it. In its season, in the right time, maybe not immediately, but in its season, it's going to bear fruit. We don't have any fruit on this, but just imagine that there's some fruit here on this tree. And then its leaf doesn't wither. Good job, son. All right. Now, and then he, at the end of verse 3, he comes out of the simile and he says, in all that he does, he prospers. He kind of just generalizes that, that this is the way to prosperity. Now, again, just getting a sense of what this means, I think of, so dwell on the consequences. I think of Joseph, who, that same Hebrew word is used in Genesis 39, where he talks about he became a successful. That it's that word prosperity. It's the Lord, because all they did to succeed. It's that same word. And I like Alan Ross's definition is when we're thinking of prosperous, we're thinking of his activities come to their divinely directed fulfillment. So this is the path of blessing. It's the path of success. Now, it's not a prosperity gospel, because remember, prosperity or success can even involve pain, suffering, persecution. Right here in verse 23 of Genesis 39, Joseph was in prison. Okay? So we are motivated because we can dwell on the consequences. There's negative consequences, too, of not walking the path of blessing. The wicked are not so. They are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And then in verse 6, combines a positive and a negative consequence. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. It's this word, as a man knows a woman. Okay, it's I am intimate with the righteous. A close relationship. But the way of the wicked will perish. But the wicked are not so. Going back to verse 4, they're like chaff. It's this sense of there's a uselessness, a meaninglessness, a purposelessness to their life. That's the path of the wicked. And he uses the metaphor of chaff, where the heavier parts of the grain is what you want to keep. And then you can just throw up the wheat into the air, and then the chaff will all be passed away, and what comes down is the wheat, which we use to make flour, and then we make bread. So we don't want to walk the path of meaninglessness, of uselessness, of purposelessness. And I don't know if any of you are in any group texting, but I know some people out there. You leave your phone alone for an hour. You come back the next hour. Got like 5,000 unread group texts. You know, and as I talk to some of our teens about this, I say, they're culling through all those 5,000 texts. How many of those texts are of substance? Really have something substantial in them? And, well, unfortunately, you know, I don't know how many of those texts are the wheat and how many are really not really saying much. And so, friends, we don't want to be like that, right? We want to be on the path of blessing, completeness, dwell on the consequences. And so there's both positive and negative. And so whatever you're engaged in, whether it's a student, whether it's an engineer, whether it's a mom, whether it's a pastor, yes, it can be a pastor too. And if you're facing struggle, difficulty, failure, like even me myself, there's hard things about being a pastor. Yeah, I might feel, this is a pastor appreciation month, by the way. So, but there are times where I may not feel very good about how I'm doing my job. You know, I'm identifying myself as a pastor first. And, you know, I might hear some gossip and it might wear me down. And, you know, I might get stressed, anxious, sleep, some conflict. Okay, now there's good things, too, about being a pastor. I'm just kind of using this for the sake of argument. But if I'm not meditating on the Word of God, I can go into a depression, despair. But if I remember just those verses, nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. What shall we say then? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How will he not freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against the God's elect? God justifies. Neither tribulation, nor famine, nor nakedness, nor peril, nor sword. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor church conflicts, nor unappreciated, nor any other created thing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus as our Lord. If I'm meditating on those verses, I'm not saying it's going to fix every relational, every job problem that I have, but it gets me on the... It helps me to identify with what I truly need to identify, gets me on the right path to being complete. So, friends, this morning, we've talked about leading, finding that missing piece, finding the life that will bring us blessing, completion. And we've said, don't walk in the way, don't identify with the ungodly, with the world system. Don't draw upon that. Rather, delight and dwell on God's word. And also, understand, dwell on the consequences of doing so. So I was picking up Daniel from school on that day. And I was driving home and I say, hey, Daniel, lost my computer battery and I'm going to be out $30 reordering that computer battery. I was depressed that day. We got home, got out of the car. And as I was getting out of the car, lo and behold, right there in between the seat and the door, I found to praise the Lord. I rushed right back in. I popped that baby. And my computer was now complete. And I was $30 richer that I didn't have to spend. Friends, you feel like something's missing in your life this morning? Don't go looking for love in all the wrong places. Look for your completion in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't walk in the path of sinners. Delight and dwell on the Word of God, and you will find blessing. You will find completion. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your Word. Thank you that it is the source of blessing, of completion. Help us, Lord, this week to delight ourselves in your Word. As we read it, study it, memorize it, and meditate on it, so that when we face those storms and difficulties in life, we will have the rock foundation to be firmly planted, that our leaves will not wither. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name.